Welcome to the Jerry Ratcliffe Show with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the show, Chris Graham, Jerry Ratcliffe, here on the Jerry Ratcliffe Show. And we got baseball to talk about. There's still sports in the calendar, the sports year anyway, of 2020-2021, as Virginia, after winning the Columbia Regional, beating ODU a couple times this past weekend and into this week, now getting ready to face off with Dallas Baptist University, also still in Columbia. And we've got a lot of insight here to offer. Jerry, welcome to your show, and we got a lot to get into with this show today.
Hey, Chris, good to see you again. Long time no see. Yesterday, we had a great interview with John Grisham, the great author, and talking about his new book, Sully, and also talking some UVA baseball and other sports. But yeah, back-to-back, that's great. Good seeing you. And let's welcome in Dr. Winston Gwathmey of UVA Orthopedics, who is one of the main guys that takes care of your Wahoo baseball players. And Winston, welcome to the show. Great to have you as always.
Thank you, Jerry. I'm happy to be here. I love talking baseball, and it's exciting that I can talk baseball this year. It's been a couple of years since we've been relevant at this time of year, so I'm looking forward to this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the last time actually that Virginia was in the NCAA tournament, they got knocked out by none other than Dallas Baptist, and that's who they're going to face starting at noon Friday in familiar surroundings down at Founders Park in Columbia, South Carolina, where they won the Columbia Region last week. I think it was a brilliant move on Brian O'Connor's part to decide to just stay there in Columbia, since that's where the regional was going to be, thanks to the ineptitude of the NCAA, and just save a little wear and tear on the bodies and stay there in place.
But wouldn't it be great if we had baseball in Charlottesville this weekend? it'd be wonderful to have them back here, but we can turn Columbia into Charlottesville South. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, we had a good time. True. Jerry and I did. I'm sure a lot of folks did down a couple years ago when the basketball team was making its way towards the Final Four. Columbia was the first regional for us to go to, and that was my first visit to Columbia, and I love that area. It's a beautiful downtown. Yeah. The facilities are great down there. So, in fact, we had to park. I've not been in the baseball stadium, but the media shuttle was there at the baseball stadium. So we got to, Scott German and I peeked in, because Scott German being Scott German, we probably trespassed, and we probably were in violation of several South Carolina laws, but we looked in and it looks like a great place to play baseball. I'm sure there'll be quite a few UVA fans down there.
Oh, I think there will be.
Yeah, I would think so. It's not a very bad drive down there, and there's a lot to get excited about. Again, it's a shame that the NCAA didn't break its present protocol and either award Dallas Baptist a home site or UVA a home site. That way you would have full stadiums down in Columbia. Unless Virginia fans show up, I don't think there'll be a lot of people there. I doubt that Dallas will bring a strong contingent. I'm sure they'll bring some people, but that's a big ballpark. It's going to be a shame if it isn't at least half full for this great event.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun seeing them play again this time of year.
Yeah, we don't need to.
We were on a Zoom conference with Brian O'Connor earlier today, and he said that Andrew Abbott, Virginia's ace, is going to start. Everybody knows that the big lefty is, I think, tied for number two in the United States in strikeouts. Has an 8-6 record, 2.82 ERA, 29 walks in 95 innings pitched, and 144 strikeouts. He'll be going up against Dallas Baptist right-hander Hamill. Who has 129 strikeouts, so he's not way behind, and a 3.95 ERA and a 13-2 record. And O'Connor said, after he mentioned that today, he said, who in America has a 13-2 record? And he's probably right.
Well, I mean, Abbott, we wasted a lot of his starts earlier this year. If you remember, we lost our first, I think, four or five Friday night ACC games. Poor Abbott was pitching well, but our bats, we had basically no offense for the first half of the season. It's just only been recently we found our bats. I think it's a testament to how O'Connor has shifted the lineup and gotten some players playing and some players who've learned how to bat again.
And Chris has done some great research on that. Chris, why don't you give us some eye-popping figures here?
Yeah, these are eye-popping. They're even more than I thought. So I went through today and had to painstakingly do this. It's not as easy to do as it should be. But I went through the last 33 box scores, basically. The first 24 games of the season, Virginia 11-13 start as of April 1st. And that April 1st, our demarcation line for UVA baseball this year, that series down in Atlanta at Georgia Tech, lost the first game Friday night, won the next two, and that's what really started the run here. So after 24 games, Virginia was hitting .226, on base .318, slugging .329, anemic numbers, 4.6 runs per game. They had 11 home runs in the first 24 games of the season. Since April 1st, including April 1st, so the last 33 games, Virginia hitting .290, so .290 versus .226, on base .381 versus .318, slugging .427 versus .329, averaging 6.6 runs per game, again, versus 4.6 runs per game, so two more runs per game. And they have 31 homers in the last 33 games, almost a homer per game, whereas they were hitting less than one for every two games. And so, yeah, the pitching's been the same. The team ERA of 3.66, second in the ACC, the pitching's been there all season long. But the second half of the season, a little bit more than the second half of the season, this team's raking. And so, yeah, what Brian O'Connor was able to do there to move things around really, really has been working.
He shifted the lineup a little bit, got Kyle Teal involved, who is just an unbelievable talent. The guy can't keep this poor hat in his head, but the guy, every time he hits the plate, that is excitement waiting to happen. He's hitting all over the place. And then the late season resurgence of Devin Ortiz has just been remarkable. Just watching how he's hitting the ball right now and pitching. There's definitely been some players that are really stepping up for us offensively. And then the pitching, again, has been consistent all year. And Andrew Abbott's he's a prime example of that.
What's interesting to me is when you see Devin Ortiz, so he pitches four innings on Tuesday, four scoreless innings, one hit allowed in those four. Then he has the two biggest at-bats of the season, the walk, actually a plate appearance, the walk in the eighth. He worked the walk, and the two wild pitches allow the tying run to score, and then, of course, the home run in the 10th. He gets drenched at home plate with the Gatorade. He has to take his jersey off, and we have some pictures that I know I ran one of the pictures on one of our websites. He's got that big brace on his left shoulder. He's still swinging a hot bat with that big brace on his left shoulder. I mean, that's remarkable. What's he? Can you say what he's dealing with, Winston, in terms of what his shoulder is and how he's been able to kind of play through that the last few weeks?
I can't go into too much detail. He had, before he came into to UVA, he had a shoulder injury, required surgery before he got here. He's been doing fine. This year, he's kind of aggravated that injury. And baseball gets a bad rap as far as the quote toughness of some of the players, but I'll put Devin Ortiz up against anyone I've ever known in my entire career as far as toughness. The kid is all grit. He's a right-handed thrower and he's a right-handed batter. And normally, your shoulder, on a right-handed batter, your left shoulder receives some force, but for whatever reason, he's been able to basically just gut it through. I mean, the kid is a remarkable player. He's got a great attitude. He is wearing that big brace in the shoulder, and that's why he's not playing first base anymore. But he's able to pitch because you don't get quite as many opportunities to have to utilize that left arm when you pitch.
I mean, I'm dealing with shoulder tendonitis right now, rotator cuff tendonitis right now. And all I do is type and talk, and it's hard to get through a day. And I'm not out there swinging a bat four times and all the warm-up swings and taking batting practice. So, I can speak to his toughness.
But I just saw another shout-out. The baseball athletic trainer, Brian McGuire, who doesn't get as much press as, like, Ethan Saliba and some of the other guys at UVA, he's been doing this for as long as O'Connor's been here, 20 years, in running. And that guy keeps these guys patched up better than anybody I've ever known in my entire career. I mean, he is just remarkable getting these guys ready to play. So, you know, it's tough. You know, this time of year, what, you know, what the average listener might not realize is you're trying to play five games in, you know, 3 days or 4 days, you know, and you're trying to manage your athletes. And how do you, you know, you got a guy like Brandon Neek who goes out and throws, you know, 70 more pitches than he's done all season. Like, how do you manage a team like that? That's what Brian O'Connor and Drew Dickinson are doing so well this year.
UVA Orthopedics and Sports Medicine boasts one of the finest teams of doctors in the country, and they're right here in Charlottesville to not only provide care for the University of Virginia athletic teams, but also the Charlottesville and Central Virginia communities. UVA Orthopedics has been a proud sponsor of the Jerry Ratcliffe Show for the past 2 years, with numerous team members featured in weekly segments where doctors share great insight into various sports injuries, what causes them, how to treat them, and recovery time. Their team of experts are there for you and offer the best care to solve your health problems and get you back on your feet. Let their team of specialists get you back in the game.
Hey, Jerry, I'd ask you, I didn't jump on the media call with Coach O'Connor today. Did he talk about his starter for Sunday? Did he go into detail or even give any indication there?
No, he said they would wait until after the first game's over before they
decide
who they're going to start Sunday.
I can predict
something. Go ahead.
I bet you it's going to be Vassell on Sunday, and then Savino. I mean, they've been using Savino kind of out of the bullpen periodically, but you have guys who can eat innings, and Vassell can eat innings. So the more you can stay out of your bullpen, the better. If he can pitch like he pitched earlier this season, that'd be great for us.
It really would. Just getting what they got out of the pitching staff in Columbia, which was amazing. I mean, so many of those guys extended themselves deeper than they've ever been, and or at least this season. Sometimes maybe in their entire career, and getting so many strikeouts from so many different people, great performances from so many different pitchers. I would think that has to give them a leg up in this regional, just having that many arms that have performed so well. I mean, that staff can't be intimidated by any batting lineup, I wouldn't think.
Well, Jerry, let me just briefly, a lot of people have compared this team to our 2015 team that won the whole thing as a three seed out in Lake Elsinore, California. And the big difference between this team and that team is that team had four, maybe five pitchers who could perform at the level that's needed to win a College World Series game. This staff has 9, 10, 11 guys who can go out and throw. And so I do feel like we're in a good position. Pitching is what wins at this time of year. And we've got guys, you know, that have not really even been a big part of the rotation until now, like Wyatt and again, Brandon Neek and these guys, you know, I think we've got a pretty good arsenal to throw it at Dallas Baptist. And then whoever comes our way, hopefully in Omaha, if we can get to that point.
Yeah, Wyatt had not – he started one other game this season, didn't get out of the first inning of that game, and then he goes five scoreless, two-hit innings against South Carolina in an elimination game. Neek hadn't gone, I don't think, more than 2 1/3 this year, and 2 1/3 in his college career since high school. He goes 5 2/3, strikes out 16 guys, and gets 17 outs along the way. And stretching guys out. Just going down – Griff McGarry had struggled so much this year. With that great stuff, 99 mile an hour fastball. He struggled so much this year. Three good innings before he gets the blister on his hand. So yeah, guys just stepped up this weekend, and now you know Brian O'Connor knows he's got a lot of guys he can rely on for long relief, an emergency start if need be. Certainly, if they can get past this weekend, you go back to the double elimination four team format for the first part of the College World Series. You're set up pretty well.
Yeah, I gotta just pause on two things. One, Griff McGarry. I think one of the brilliant things O'Connor and Dickinson did was during Abbott's no hitter, we were up by a ton of runs, and they put McGarry in to close the game. And he hadn't pitched well all season, and he'd been a little bit wild. And he came and just threw the hammer down. We're talking 99, 100 mile an hour pitches, had strikeout after strikeout. And I think that really restored a lot of his faith in himself because the guy's got major league stuff. He just doesn't have the control. And so I think that got his mind right and got him prepared to pitch now this time of year. So that is a very small thing you don't think about, but I think it paid dividends this past weekend. And then Brent, and then Neek, who is a, he's really been a almost a situational guy this year, lefty pitcher who can get a couple left-handed batters out. This kid is another, the guy was a top 100 recruit out of high school, also came in with a shoulder injury, really didn't pitch for 18 months after shoulder surgery. And we've been working him back for the past year. And this guy is another just tough as nails workhorse. And that performance will go down in my mind as one of the top performances I've ever seen from a baseball player at UVA. 16 out of 17, yeah. Out of your mind. That's unfathomable. So really cool stuff.
When I saw McGarry pitching as well as he was for those first three innings, especially this past weekend, kind of reminded me a little bit of Nick Howard. Howard came in, you know, as a starter, he was 92, 93. And then he came out of the bullpen. He was closing games out, throwing 99. And like McGarry's got, he's got that stuff. You can't teach 99. Make him a reliever, make him a one inning guy, or in the future, certainly if major league teams are looking at that, you don't have to have a secondary pitch. You could just have a very basic secondary pitch and be dominant with that fastball.
Yeah. I mean, and he can throw it. And I think that's the difference because earlier in the year when he was the starter, he was having a hard time with control. I think he just had he had to think about the entire game coming in for one or two innings and situations, just throw it 99 and see if they can hit it or not, exactly. And most times they can't.
Most times they can't. That's right.
Yeah. And I don't know how many practices you attend, Winston, in your role with the team, but a lot of us were surprised that O'Connor was going to start Devin Ortiz in that final game. And then when they had the rain out and the next morning they gave Virginia a little bit of break to rest its pitchers, we thought he might change his mind, but he knew something the rest of us didn't. Were you around for any of those practices when they were working with?
I was around for the discussions. I mean, I know what Ortiz can do. Go look at the stats from his sophomore year when he pitched, the guy came in as a highly touted recruit, both batting and pitching. And for a while, he had a hard time finding a place in the field. And so during his second year, he mainly pitched. And he, I don't know what his exact numbers were, but he had the lowest ERA in the team, I think. The guy could definitely throw.
He was 4-0 with a 1.78, 38 strikeouts in 35 innings, opponent batting average around 200. I mean, he was lights out that year.
Yeah. So, I mean, the guy had the stuff. It's just that he's been such an important part of our offense this year, and we have so many people pitching. And so I know O'Connor always had that in the back of his mind that if in a pinch he had Ortiz, and we had basically told him that we weren't going to have Ortiz playing in the field much anymore at all, actually, so I think that, the things start, the wheels start turning in your head, like this guy throws pretty well, he can't play first base, but pitching's a pretty safe place to be. You're not going to have to throw it that often or have to field it that often. So if you think about a first base person who has a left shoulder left shoulder issue, how many balls does he receive during a game? That's so many opportunities for him to tweak that shoulder. And so that's part of the reason why, pitching's a little bit safer because you don't have to worry too much about that left shoulder.
Interesting. He showed such good stuff. His fastball, I remember seeing 94, 95, that curveball that comes over the top, and it seemed like it starts at the top of the zone, hits the ground. I think he made him some money with how he looked on Tuesday, because it would be hard for a major league organization. I'm not sure with the draft being compressed now after COVID, but he's gonna get a look as a pitcher, certainly. I mean, because he's got great stuff, and just stretch him out a little bit more. He's got a great fastball and a great secondary pitch. He could certainly be a starter at the next level.
He's also just got grit, and you can't coach grit. I mean,
that's right.
There's certain people just have it, and he has it. Whatever it is, he has it. So yeah, I mean, it's been awesome watching this turnaround, and I think we have a pretty good opportunity here.
Blue Ridge Bank is the proud sponsor of the Jerry Ratcliffe Show and JerryRatcliffe.com. Founded in 1893, Blue Ridge Bank has more than a century of customer-based service, but is forward-thinking and features digital banking free and available 24/7. CEO Brian Plum and his team are strong supporters of UVA Athletics. And check this out. Blue Ridge Bank is home of the $100,000 jackpot drawing to one lucky customer every year. How can you beat that? Banking smarter, simplified. Blue Ridge Bank's mission is strong customer service. Make Blue Ridge Bank your bank today. Visit mybrb.com for more information.
As one of the team doctors, Winston, I don't know how much you can talk about this, but McGarry's the blister they got on his thumb. Can you talk a little bit about just how that injury occurs and how long does it take to recover from it? And Bales left the game just kind of with a mysterious ailment. I don't know if you can say what it is, but do you know if he'll be back for the Super Regional?
So to the blister on the thumb, you know, pitchers get blisters. I think that with Griff, you know, you have a guy who hadn't thrown in a while and somebody's out there throwing 100 miles an hour, you know, the amount of friction that comes off your ham when you throw that hard, I have no idea what it feels like, but I'm sure it feels pretty crazy. And so much the same way you get a, you know, get a callus or something like that, I think you sort of have to work yourself through it to some degree. I'm not overly concerned about the blister. I think that in time it will resolve. You know, as far as Blake goes, I can't really, you know, go into too much detail. You know, he's been so good all year, you know, and he just wants to perform at the highest level. You know, and I don't think he felt like he had everything he wanted to provide during his last outing. So he's kind of play it by ear, day by day. We'll see kind of how things end up with him. But he's also a fighter too. So again, this team's got a lot of grit, and that's why I'm so enthusiastic about their chances.
I haven't done a lot of research into Dallas Baptist. I know that they were on the brink of extinction several times in their regional and fought back. Yeah. They're 40-16 overall. They've lost in the regional finals for 6 years in a row. So they, you know, they have a lot to prove as well. I know Chris has delved into their team a little bit more. Anything that jumps out at you, Chris?
Yeah, I'll give a couple things. So talking about their starter tomorrow, Dominic Hamill, big numbers, like Coach O'Connor said, 13-2. Who else in the country is 13-2? I will say one thing. He's been getting touched up a bit lately. He gave up 5 runs in his win over Oregon State in the regional. And dating back to the start of May, so back to May 1st, he's allowed 20 earned runs in 27 innings. So he's been getting hit lately. His ERA for the season is 3.95. Now, he's also a guy, he's had 6 starts this season with 10-plus strikeouts, but only one since May 1st. So we'll see if that's an issue of, you know, just the long season or what. Their expected game 2 star is a guy named Rhett Kuba, and he's got good, solid, consistent numbers. 6-1 record, 2.81 ERA, opponent batting average 217. He's got pretty good strikeout numbers, 82 strikeouts in 67 innings, excuse me. He also had I said good numbers generally. He did give up 6 runs in a no decision in the TCU game. Dallas Baptist eventually won that game, and that's what got them to the winner's bracket, through the winner's bracket. Their bullpen's pretty good. They've got 4 guys under 3 ERA. They've got some good arms out there. The thing that stands out about this team now, I looked at the dimensions of their field. It's a pretty small home field, 325 down the lines, 390 to center field. They've got 5 guys who've got more than 10 home runs. Their leadoff guy, River Town, has 10 homers. Jackson Glenn, their 2-hole hitter, has 19. But both those guys are in double digits and stolen bases. You know, they're a team that has 5 guys over 400 on base percentage. So they're pretty good. They got a lineup of guys who can hit. And one other thing to mention, their starting catcher, Christian Boulware, has only allowed 3 steals this season in 11 attempts. So people don't run on them, and when they do, they get thrown out. So there's the quick and dirty there. Don't try to run too much on them. They can bop it, and they've got some good arms, especially in the bullpen.
Yeah, well, they also mentioned this morning that this Dallas Baptist team offensively is very similar to Old Dominion in South Carolina, that they've got a lot of live bats. And so it'll be a nice matchup against another strong offense against great Virginia pitching.
Well, they also, they beat TCU and Oregon State. I mean, these are two pretty high level programs that they beat to get here. So, I mean, that says enough to me. They're not here by chance.
Yeah, they're 10-4 against teams that were in the NCAA tournament this year, including that 3-1 run in the regional last weekend. But they, so, you know, I know a lot of UVA fans might say, who do they play? What conference do they play in? Even before the regional, they were 7-3 against a NCAA tournament team. So, you know, that's for a mid-major, they went out and scheduled games and they played some tough games. And then, yeah, they beat TCU on TCU's home field. They beat Oregon State twice. So give them some credit there. And again, Jerry, I think your analogy is great. South Carolina, ODU, both teams with big bats, lots of big bats. When I mentioned the dimensions of the field, their home field, the dimensions of their home field are very similar to the dimensions of the Columbia, of the stadium we're going to play in Columbia this weekend. I think they're 330 down the line, straight 390 to dead center field. So they're not playing in Davenport. the ball won't fly there. As we saw last weekend, I think Virginia had 5 home runs last weekend in 5 games. So the ball will fly there. So we'll have to keep it in the yard as best we can.
Looking for a great dining experience in Charlottesville? Look no further than the Aberdeen Barn. The Barn has been family owned and operated since 1965, with Terry and Angela providing great atmosphere and mouth-watering food at Virginia's big-time steakhouse. Enjoy the fine dining or relax in the Sportsman's Bar, a fantastic place to wind down and socialize, surrounded by flat-screen televisions tuned to the latest sporting events. You never know who you might bump into at the Aberdeen Barn, where all the greatest Cavaliers have dined over the decades and keep coming back for the delicious menu and good times. Check it out online at aberdeenbarn.com or call 434-296-4630.
One of the guys who has emerged as one of the fan favorites, not only with UVA, but thanks to his post-game interviews, has become a national sensation as the big donkey, Stephen Schock. Have you worked with him much, Winston? Do you know him very well? Is he always a character like this?
I have worked with him. You know, you don't want the team doc to know all the players. I know Stephen actually pretty well because he's hard to miss. You know, he's a 6'4", just kind of life of the clubhouse kind of guy. And what you're seeing on these interviews is exactly who he is. And I guess that actually is pretty cool to think that, I mean, him talking to ESPN is the same way he talks to me, you know, like that's just who he is. He is so happy to be here at UVA. Like his life dream was to play for us. And I really hope that his story ends in Omaha. Don't you? I mean, the guy, you know, he went to UMBC out of high school, but I think he always wanted to come to UVA. Was able to transfer here, had a season cut short last year, came back. He's 24 years old. Some people think he's in his 40s. He's actually 24. and he's just such a great guy. And he has so much intensity on the mound. I think that opposing fans would probably be a little bit aggravated by some of his antics out there, but that's just him being dialed in, you know, and you always know when you win, because his glove ends up in the third row.
He's lucky he's been able to keep that glove.
I know. I mean, that glove should go into our Hall of Fame at one point if we can win something. Because, you know, obviously he just so much intensity. He likes to keep you on your toes, though, in the ninth inning. That guy likes to get in trouble and get out of trouble. He does a really good job at it. But, man, he didn't mind putting some people on base and then working his way out of some trouble.
I couldn't believe that O'Connor brought him out for the 10th inning. He seemed like maybe he pitches better when he's on fumes. I don't know, but you know, the ninth inning, it came in the seventh, picked the guy off, you know, gets out of the eighth, and then the ninth was maybe, you know, and then he comes out for the 10th, and I'm thinking, what does he have left? He pitched a couple innings on Sunday, and that was the 10th was his easiest inning. He got through that 1-2-3 top of lineup with no problem. So the kid is just, all you can say is he's a warrior out there. A warrior who just doesn't want to go in caves.
Exactly. What an answer. I wonder if that was in the back of his mind. What are you afraid of, Stephen? Caves?
Caves.
All right.
Well, they certainly got the attention of Dip and Dots people. They sent the UVA team a ton of Dip and Dots yesterday, I guess. Did you get any of that, Winston, or did you get left out?
No, I was in Charlottesville. I'm not sure how well that stuff mails. We don't have dry ice with it. But, that's just been a delightful story, and I do hope it keeps going.
Yeah, can you imagine the publicity he would get if he makes it to Omaha with antics?
Well, you know, whenever like you get to the postseason, like the media likes to pick out a couple stories, you know, here and there, and you know that he's going to be just like, I don't know if you're watching the Women's College World Series, but Odyssey Alexander from James Madison's a similar situation where, you know, someone you didn't know about before the tournament, suddenly afterwards they're on the national landscape.
Yeah, now every little girl in America wants to be Odyssey Alexander playing softball, definitely.
I know. And now I'm not sure every boy wants to be Stephen Schoch, but Stephen Schoch wants to be Kenny Powers, which is good enough for me.
I think he already is. I think if we could look it up, Kenny Powers, he's a Kenny Powers love child. I mean, their DNA, we might want to do a DNA test, because, you know, I had to look it up. I actually watched Eastbound and Down back in the day, but it's been a few years. And so when I referenced the Twitter handle, it of course brought up the appearance that Kenny Powers made in the Mexican League where he has the donkey bringing him into the game. It's just so appropriate. And even to the point where Steve was making the point that, you know, Kenny Powers, man, he took 86 to the big leagues, you know.
I'm saying something.
We're rooting for Steven to take 89 of the big leagues, man. He's crafty out there.
Yeah, that'd be great. I will say that if baseball doesn't work out for him for a career, you could see that guy in media. You could see that guy color commentary for a game. I mean, that guy's got talent beyond baseball. So charisma is hard to teach too.
Yes, ACC Network, if you're listening, there's your color commentator for baseball broadcast starting next spring, if he's available. Hopefully he's not. But
hopefully he's not. Well, good stuff.
Yeah, and I'll just say, I'll throw in, talking with a fellow UVA alum by phone this week, there's a feeling, it just feels to me and felt to him as well, there's a similar feeling as with the 2019 basketball run. You know, that year it just felt like, hey, after UMBC the year before, this team feels destined to get to the Final Four, feels destined to win the national championship. After what this team had to deal with at 11-13, 11-14 in April, you know, what they had to do last weekend just to get here, it just does not feel like it's going to end this weekend. It's got to go to Omaha.
I hope so. I really do. I really hope so for all these kids. It's been a really crappy year or 2 years for a lot of them. You know, their season cut short last year. You have no idea what these kids go through to play baseball right now, at least earlier in the season with COVID and the isolation they've had and like just what they've had to give up. So you want it to end with a happy ending. You know, you really do. It already is a happy ending, but you'd love to see it keep going.
Yeah, and as good as Virginia's pitching is, I think that one of the big keys in this super regional is how Virginia goes offensively. In the games that they've lost in recent weeks, which hasn't been many, their bats have kind of let them down. So I think if they can continue to hit the ball well like they did in Columbia, I think they could be Omaha bound.
I do too. I really do, Jerry. I really do. So hopefully those bats stay hot. Baseball is a fickle sport, but if those bats can stay hot and get those timely hits, anything can happen in baseball. That's what's so wonderful about this game.
I ran the numbers both for the last 33 games and just for the regional last weekend. So they were 290 the last 33 games, 291 last weekend, 6.2 runs per game last weekend. Yeah, I mean, they're still rolling. I mean, two more games at least, hopefully. Just all we need is two. Another weekday game might shorten our lifespans a little bit. But
No kidding. They do like to do that to us, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
I mean, shoot. I told the trainer, the baseball trainer, Brian McGuire, I'm like, hey, man, I don't mind blowouts in baseball. You can give me some more of those, you know, 15-0 games. Like, that's just fine by me.
Takes all the suspense out of it. I think Virginia fans from football season and all through basketball and now baseball, the cardiac Cavs name certainly is applicable. And I think it's really raising the blood pressure of a lot of Wahoo Nation out there. Winston, you guys might over at Sports Medicine might be getting a lot more patients if this keeps up.
You guys should start interviewing the cardiologists in town.
Yeah.
See if they're seeing more hypertension.
Exactly. Oh, I don't know. I was flung a couple hats at the TV screen this weekend, so I might risk my good throwing shoulder as far as that goes. Might get you some business that way.
I can keep you tuned up. Don't worry. I can be your team doc as well, okay, for this podcast. I'll take care of both you guys.
Jerry Radcliffe Show team podcast doctor. There you go.
That's right. Yeah, we need all the team doctors we can get.
That's right.
All right, guys.
All right. Well, so, Jerry, I think we're ready to wrap up.
I believe so. Thank you, Winston. I appreciate your coming on the show, giving up some of your time and some of the great invaluable insights you have. You're so close to the UVA baseball team, having worked with them for so many years.
Yeah.
It's great to have somebody with your knowledge to share a little inside info.
Yeah, it's my ninth year, you know, and I don't have much hair left because this is like you said, they take it out of you a little bit, but I texted O'Connor after Ortiz hit his home run. I go, it's like moments like this that make it all worth it. So it's all worth it. I can tell you that.
Yeah, no question about it. Thank you so much, brother. We'll see you down the road.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jerry. Thanks, guys. And Chris.
Thanks, Winston. Take care. All right, Jerry. Well, tomorrow at noon, Sunday at noon, and of course, go to jerryratcliffe.com, go to augustafreepress.com. We've got previews as we're recording this. I know, Jerry, you're working on something from the presser with Coach O'Connor today. I've got the previews up. I got the Dallas what UVA baseball fans need to know about Dallas Baptist. I've got the inside the numbers on the UVA offense. And of course, we'll have post game coverage both Saturday and Sunday, maybe Monday if necessary. Anything else you got coming this way this weekend, Jerry?
Not really. I'm just focusing on baseball. One of the stories I'm working on as we speak is on Stephen Shock. I talked to O'Connor about him this morning and to Alex Tappan, one of his teammates, and we'll be looking at his antics from the last weekend. But O'Connor shows us another side of Stephen Shock that a lot of people aren't aware of. So,
that's called a tease in the business, by the way, folks.
A little bit of a tease. So, yeah, I don't think baseball fans will want to miss reading that story on the big donkey.
On the big donkey. So JerryRatcliffe.com for that. AugustaFreePress.com for others as well. A lot coming up this weekend. UVA and Dallas Baptist noon starts on Saturday and Sunday. For Jerry Radcliffe, for Dr. Winston Guathme, I'm Chris Graham signing off. Everyone have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to the Jerry Radcliffe Show. Get the latest on the Hoos, basketball, football, and more online at JerryRatcliffe.com or at AugustaFreePress.com.